feeling that this man was going to be drastically different. I hope not. Anyhow, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Straight and Shoot panel involving the evolution of D-Generation X. For those of you who aren't familiar with D-Generation X, we'd like to provide you now with this public service announcement to remind you what they were all about.
I hope it's the uncensored one.
Interrupt your regularly scheduled program for this special report.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. This past week, the Generation X
performed
at TSN, Star TV, Sky Sports, and USA Network is drawing a line on standards and practices as it relates to WWF programming and Generation X. In the future, we need to be careful what we do and what we don't do. Again, DX gets in trouble every time we do something gratuitously. Therefore, the following is the standard and practices that DX promises to adhere to. From the hours of 9 at 10 p.m. we will only use the words ass, damn, and hell. We will, however, never use the words or any other sexual or racial slurs. From the 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. hour, we will only use the words ass, damn, hell, and we will, however, never use the words or any other racial or sexual slurs. Now, as it pertains to video, we promise there will be less references. We will have less references to our enormous genitalia.
Now, on a final note, even though many people believe that currently the favorite pastime in the oral office is swallow the leader, I did not. I repeat. I did not sleep with that young engine. As a matter of fact, I was up all night.
Well, that's without kids. Further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the two original members of D-Generation X. Triple H and Shawn Michaels!
I like we were the only two people who didn't snap or lollard the whole world.
What happened to your hair? Which one's Triple H?
So,
that's not funny, that's funny.
What's the matter with it? God, it's funny.
No, this is live. Anyway, guys, welcome. And, of course, we're talking about the evolution and the history of D-Generation X tonight. And it wouldn't be a conversation about the start of D-Generation X if we didn't, well, talk about the original click. And could you guys fill us in a little bit on what the original click was?
Well, obviously, it was our buddies. It was myself, Triple H, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Sean Waltman. And it was just a real-life friendship was formed between all of us. We would travel down the road together. We spent more time with each other than we did our own families. Most of us didn't have families at that time. Well, we wouldn't have been very good at it anyway. We just were with each other every second of the day. Yeah, it kind of took on life of its own, too much of guys were together and they were passionate about the business. We were the kind of mature people that when somebody wanted to accuse us of something, well, if you're going to accuse us, then we're going to go all the way with it. So, if you wanted to call the click, then we'd call making the click, and we'd put signs on the locker room that say nobody but the click could go in here. And if you were stupid enough not to go in there because there's a sign on there that said the click only, then we had more room.
He didn't name us that. It wasn't a children of endearment. We weren't real good at that time as far as,
Your stuff's not working. Who is running this?
I am begging.
Who think you are?
See, it's you.
Electronic black cloud. But anyway, nobody liked us in the fact that, the thing that worked against us is that didn't bother us. You know what I mean? All it did was make us more divorced.
We kind of reveled in it, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't a good thing. People would say stuff that wasn't true and everything. And it was just, we acted on it. I think it was a blast. Don't do it. So once that kind of, was in full effect, and then things were changing, and Nash and Hall were leaving, and the Kid left, and there was a just kind of a different vibe. But we had, before that, when the clip was kind of in full force, we had been kind of wanting to put that on TV for a long time. It was getting such a behind-the-scenes vibe that we were like, why don't we just do this for all of you, and put it out there. And it never happened, everybody left. And Vince was very resistant to it, and he left. And then when everybody left, we kind of just did what we do, which was we just badgered him to death until he allowed us to start doing stuff together on TV. And, as we started to do a few things here and there on TV, he allowed us to kind of form the group, which eventually was named D-Generation X.
Why was it such a resistance from the management to putting you guys together?
Well, I think the original five of us, I think, was a problem because at that time, some of us were good guys, some of us were bad guys, so I wanted to make this work. In a way, it made sense, on camera. And also, our vision for it was, was to be very untraditional. At that time, we had a real tough time convincing Vince and everybody else that, tradition sort of needed to go by the wayside, and we needed to sort of usher in the mirror.
I'll give you an example of that is that video that you just saw, the presidential speech with DX doing that, was that literally, we had a letter in front of us that was written by USA Network and all the groups that we said in the beginning of that. And it was, we would do the things we were doing on TV every week. When we would come back, we would get yelled at and threatened to get fired. And then we would go out and do it again the following week. And that was at a point where USA sent us a letter literally saying, if DX does these things during these hours, we are pulling you off the air. Like, we're done. This is it. No more questions. You know, it's what we've had. And Vince came to us. But as this was happening now, we were starting to get over it. Ratings were starting to get better. Like, people were starting to get into it. And Vince came to us and showed us a letter. It was like, what do you... to do about this, you know, and we were like, let's use it. So we did.
Yeah, let's go on TV, let's read the letter. Of course, why you can't say those words? Because he wasn't up there actually said, let's just keep them out. But, you know, let's read the letter and let's have fun with it. And we went from there, and actually, the ratings did well, and the next week, USA sent another letter.
And we love how you guys did that last week.
Yeah.
Used our own stuff against us. It was phenomenal. Keep up the good work. You know, but as soon as the numbers started changing, it was a different story, you know.
The official origin of the group was in August 11, 1997, when Triple H in China interfered in Shawn's match with Mankind. Rick Rude was involved as well. And from that night forward, it really took off. And, you know, DX is known for, as Hunter said before, very crude, sophomoric humor, take it from me, and very well aware of what they could do.
It's funny you should mention that, because you were the brunt of our antics, and since I got a little bit short, I made a video once.
You haven't gotten a proper hello here in the World Wrestling Federation. So on behalf of the clique, I would like to give you an official hello from the clique. All right?
Oh!
I don't want to say anything, but that, my friends, is going to leave a mark.
Folks, we promise we're going to get an interview with Shawn Michaels, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Rick Rude in China, and the rest of the folks. And here they are. Oh, come on, guys. I'd like to talk to Shawn a little bit. Come on. Well, I say, if Shawn's busy, we don't have to.
Get yourself a little interview time.
Right, come on.
Okay, that's a little interview time.
That's good, guys. Hey, Shawn.
Hi.
You want to do an interview?
No, he's busy.
Come on,
no, no, my guy.
Well, you got to hear me.
Guys,
he's up here.
Look at Hunter's face.
That water must be cold. That thing shut right up.
Sean, you want to do a little interview here? Come on, you. Let's get to the question that everybody wants to know. Sean, what are you wearing?
Look at that Delaware.
I got news for you. It's a Sonic! Oh! This pay-per-view just went from PG-13 to rated R. And I got news for you. The microphone of the show back there, it's going to turn into Triple X. Oh my goodness!
You don't see the hypocrite is Rick Rude actually beating the hell out of Cole with a shoe. I'm not kidding, beating the hell out of him with a shoe.
I had a welt the size of a nickel on my forehead. I don't know what's more embarrassing than mentioning the fact that I was 16 years and 40 pounds ago. God, it sucks getting old. Anyway, thanks for embarrassing me. But
I wasn't sure if that was you or Freddie Mercury. We were beating up.
Okay, let's talk about how the name the D-Generation X came about.
I don't know. You're going to have to answer most of your stuff.
Some of this stuff is sketchy.
It's very hazy time.
Very generous. Brett, generous.
And I'm a little quiet because I don't recollect. There's a lot of years that I'm pretty much the chronic group. Think about it. It's been a while. I can't get back, which is not anything. I honestly, I don't recollect.
I believe the actual term itself, Degeneration X, was actually said for the first time by Shane McMahon backstage. But it was used in a promo we were doing with Brett live, where Brett called us a bunch of degenerates. You guys are nothing but a no-good bunch of degenerates. And in true form, that really what we were doing at that time was, if somebody wanted to call us something, we'd go the extra mile with it. And I think what Shane had basically said was, we were... This is real, right? I'm just messing with you now. I don't remember what the hell I was saying. So I sat in the car a lot of times with him, and it's residual. But, it was, I think Shane just basically said, we were like the new generation. We were like Generation X. You know, that's really what he referred to. We were cool for kids, for the youth now. We were Generation X. And
what age group of kids?
Yeah. Like hip kids. I like you. And they just kind of morphed. Yeah, delinquents. Yeah.
So, tell us about the signature move of D-Generation X, how it came about, the DX chop, to be politically correct.
Well, I think, I mean...
China did it.
Kids started that. Well, I mean, Walton, though, he brought it back and used it on TV first.
He brought it back from Europe, which is not the only thing he brought back.
It's okay, you won't remember that either. Yeah, it was something when we were over in Europe. The click was, this was actually, I believe, when you were in the U.S. spent in Syracuse getting beat up by the Marines or whatever. same. Was it? Kids backstage. I can hear him yelling now, trying to tell us what actually happened. Like he has any clue. But yeah, just sit.
We'll bring out the Marines, damn it.
It was just kind of a, like, when you were overseas, there's a language barrier to telling somebody off. And the generalized term is easy to understand without having to say much verbally. So that was kind of the, you know, not so much here or here, but right in here where you can go. And we would tell people that all the time, and it just kind of came back to the States with us. We started doing it on TV.
Well, is there just a bit, there's like, I was walking on people saying,
it was just an all-the-time kind of thing. And everything you would ask, hey, how you doing right there? And we would just move on. And then it just, like I said, DX was kind of just us. You know, and it was kind of where we were at. And if we just wanted to put what we were doing on TV, it was just us being us, and that was part of it. You know, it was us being us.
I thought when you guys did that, it was a children of endearment.
Yeah, no. You were thinking that.
Yeah. Anyway, Larry, you mentioned it was just the two of you. However, it wasn't just the two of you. There was a third integral member of the original DX. Of course, we saw her in the video, and that was China. Tell us how China became a part of all this.
Of course, Rex.
Well, actually, I mean, the news is that it's not like a surprise, dude. I know.
And she was just this big fucking fraud. And then he brought her in and
did it. She was just such an amazing physical specimen. We thought, like, holy cow, this is awesome. That we would, we wanted, you know, we'd be the only guys to get a female body or we were such wusses. And I was at the time looking for somebody because I had Kurt Henry was with me, Mr. Burford was with me. And then he left, like, suddenly to go to WCW. It was when everybody was kind of exiling. He left to go to WCW in the middle of the night, and I was stuck. And I wanted to have a heater with me, and we were starting to do our thing, and I wanted a heater with me, and, you know.
Well, we just thought this is such a cool,
you know, concept.
It had never been done.
Who has a girl? Who has a big old buff girl for body work? And, we came and presented them the idea. They're like, geez, no, that's stupid, man. Like, they should get me beating guys up and stuff like that, or we're beating guys up. And you have to understand, back then, they totally missed the point of everything that we were trying to do. Of course, you know, I'm on it, not like a, I said E on the end of, WWE. I mean, back when there was an app there, and I was like, hey, what are we doing with E? You know, we're doing entertainment. You know, we just knew that, putting China in there, Steven and Monica would be something so different. And to have this girl, we would only, create certain situations where we did meet somebody else. You could believe it. It was believable. But then I just wouldn't go for it. And then I think finally it was Shane again. Remember we took him
well,
they extended, we took him out to Vancouver, International House of Mannequins.
We finally
got him to grasp the concept of it.
And I think he went back and kind of was behind it a little bit. We had been, it was something that for a long period of time when Kurt left, they tried to give me a few different guys. I had Mr. Hughes for a while, and then his health didn't pan out, let's just say. And so he didn't work out, and then, there was a suggestion at one point in time for the Honky Tonk Man to be out of here.
Yeah!
That's how I reacted when it happened. And Vince wasn't very happy with my reaction on that. But anyways, the night that we found out, I'll bring this up, but the night you lost your smile, I was dropping the Intercontinental title to Rocky Maivia, this new cat that everybody was saying, die, Rocky, die. And it was kind of like a thing, they needed something hot on the show because Sean's deal was going to be such a downer and they wanted something hot. So we did this thing with the Intercontinental title, and when I got the consolation prize, Vince was like, and you can do that thing with the chips. All right, so, and if she screws up, it's on you, so you own it. And that was the end of it, and I was like, all right, great, and there it goes.
It's funny, so much of it was like pulling teeth.
Yeah, it really was.
Trying to get DX to come around was literally, it was 2 years in the making, probably. I mean, we were talking about this stuff, but I don't even know. I mean, 95, 96, I guess.
And I know we're going to talk about it a little bit, but, right from the get-go of us, because Hall and Nash, those guys were gone, once that wasn't an option anymore, we were talking about doing it amongst ourselves. The New Age Outlaws were part of our plan. They were just two guys doing nothing. Road Dog was just Jesse James and Rockabilly. And we were like, these guys are so talented, like, what are they doing? Nothing. Like, put them together, make a tag team out of them, and you can put them with us.
Yeah, and also, more importantly, because the way we judged that guy was, yes, they were talented in the ring, but it was how much they entertained us in the back. I mean, that was, the qualification for the Generation Ranks, the standard wasn't real high. Mostly, if you just had to like you,
if you could make me laugh
a lot. Which was to be unbelievably funny, which you go for, and that obviously was the main reason that we wanted them in.
Yeah, so then it took off from there.
And it did take off from there.
Well, and let me just say one other thing on that. And the reason why we didn't put them in right away was they started getting over on their own so well that we were like, wait a minute, they don't need to be with us if they're going to do that good on their own. So we just kind of did our own thing for a while. And then, when it came to be time after WrestleMania when Sean got injured and Sean was going to have to take time off, sometimes it just feels like things line up. The stars just kind of aligned. We had those guys sitting there, and kids' contract was coming up, and it just all kind of aligned,
There was a 6-month period in there from September, October, all the way to WrestleMania 14, where DX was the hottest thing going in the wrestling industry, one of the hottest entities of all time. And we headed toward WrestleMania 14, which of course was in Boston, and the main event was Shawn defending the WWE Championship against Stone Cold Steve Austin. Mike Tyson was involved on your side.
ones.
Before we actually get to that match, I do want to talk about something that happened that week leading up to WrestleMania. I was thinking about this today. You've got to understand, at the time, Sean wasn't the easiest person to get along with.
A lot of anger.
So we held an event in downtown Boston. I think it was in the Boston Common.
Government Center.
Government Center. It was a huge event. This is how popular DX was at the time. It was at lunch hour, and thousands of people.
They estimated that day 30,000 people.
They showed up on a weekday at lunchtime for a public workout for D-Generation X.
It was mad.
Well, it wasn't that, and to make things worse, you didn't want to be there.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to be there. Very unhappy.
And it turned into a near riot.
Oh, it was crazy. I hope it was okay. I look back on stuff with a smile on my face, because obviously when I tell that story. It was just, it was... it's hard for me to grasp just how very difficult I was, how angry I was, that timing, everything, and everybody.
Even to jump back in time, because it'll set this up a little bit, we're talking about all this, like we were very entertaining and fun. We were hated. We had a ton of heat in the business. Now we can look at it now and people think it was entertaining or whatever. At that time, backstage and in front, we had a ton of heat. And to the point where at a time when it didn't happen any longer, we had riots. We had a back-to-back riot in Memphis and then Little Rock. I couldn't go to Little Rock for like 10 years. I wasn't allowed to go there like until they opened a new building and then they finally allowed them back in. They police escorts, now they lit half the building on fire. Full-on riots, same thing in Memphis. And, you know, when we got to this thing at Government Center, it was the same kind of feel. It was riotous. People were throwing stuff at us, and it was just, even Tyson was like,
this is crazy.
He was flipping out, which, that's something, right?
You can scare Mike Tyson. You accomplish a lot. And for those of you that were at the Montreal thing, you know, it's probably everybody, trying to envision, all of that heat and anger, unhappiness in the company, and then dovetailing into that. We went, he was an integral, a part of that, and then, off breathless, and then we came and we started, doing all this obnoxious stuff. It was combustible stuff on top of combustible stuff. Absolutely no one liked this. Everything you saw us doing on the screen was us venting and us having, that was the one place where we could get it out, where we could go out there. And that's, that's why it worked, because we got to go out there, and we let it fly, because that was the one and only place you could really voice your real opinion and sort of, be able to, look at everything and go, hey, man, it's been a damn people.
And then, of course, WrestleMania 14, the Tyson double cross, the Austin era begins. Stone Cold wins the title. After the main event that night, there was a press conference set up in the back of the building in Boston. And the reason for this was such a huge event on a worldwide scale. Not only with Sean and Steve, and of course Hunter and China involved, but the fact that Mike Tyson was also involved in WrestleMania. So there was a press conference held at the building afterward when most of us that were there were completely blown away. With the actions of Sean, because that's the night you told the world you quit and you retired and you're leaving the business. Not that nicely, though.
Did I mention I was angry?
That was not, by the way, it was not a press conference that we were at.
Yeah,
this was Austin and Tyson at a press conference, and I tried to talk Sean out of going there the entire way to the back door of the press conference.
Well, he didn't do a very good job.
And then when he got up, he slammed through the door, everybody turned to look at us, he went off on a tirade about I quit and all that stuff, and we turned around and stormed out and walked back out of there.
I think you can see a little piece of it. We had a little piece of
it
on video somewhere, but that doesn't really catch all
the scared the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah. Very all the press, the entire world there.
Watch out, Cole, he's about to go off.
They push them. Flying! I can't do it. Flying! Flying in that direction.
ripping everybody in shame, and something else came on. Then I got something very cool from home. And then you quit. Place your phone here.
But I never said retire.
I quit
for 4 years.
For 4 glorious years. And it was quite a dramatic scene.
So that was the end of the original D-Generation X until the next level, Monday Night Raw. And we're going to show you now exactly what happened when Triple H took over control of D-Generation X.
A lot can happen in 24 hours. Let's start with Mike Tyson. That's a big pop of hair. I must have asked 1,000 times. Is he locked in? Is he with us? Is he a part of us? Are you sure? Is it sewn up? What I heard was, don't worry, kid. I got it covered. Don't sweat it. You worry too much. It's sewn up. Let me make the decisions. Well, you dropped the ball. But don't worry, HBK, because Triple H picked it up. And now the ball is in my court. I'll take care of the worries. I'll take care of the problems. And I'll make the decisions. This is the genesis of D-Generation X. Tonight, live in front of the world, I form the DX Army, an army to take care of business that should have been taken care of right from the start.
What are you saying, JR?
And when you start an army, when you set out to do what no one else can do, the first thing you do is you look to your blood. You look to your buddies. You look to your friends. You look to the clique.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better?
I was hoping to get a good pop, and when I came to the curtain, I did. I was
really, really grateful.
You know, that was one of those things I talked about, stars aligning before.
Yeah.
That deal didn't go through for, like, him to be out of his contract and for us to be able to grab him until, like, a day before. So, like, literally, right up until we were at WrestleMania, like, we kind of didn't really know exactly what we were doing the next night. We knew we were going to do something with him, or I was, anyway, Sean was going to be gone, but, like, we didn't exactly know what it was going to be, and, you know, we would have been talking about trying to get him, how great that would be, and all that stuff, and it just finally, like, the day, I think it was, like, the day before or something, I got word that, like, you know, he closed the deal out and we signed him, so, you know, it just all the stars aligned.
Yeah, it was a pretty, actually, a really tough negotiation, because I didn't have much leverage since I knew I didn't want to go back to WCW. So we were bickering over money, and to be honest with you, I wasn't going to let that ruin an opportunity like we had. Because I mean, I'm just proud to have been part of this thing, because we made history, man. Yeah.
New Age Outlaws were involved in a match with Chainsaw Charlie and I guess it was Cactus Jack at the time. It was a steel cage match. And at the end of this match, the S-Pac and Triple H and Shiner all rushed to the ring. Melee broke loose, and we found out the new Degeneration X included you guys, New Age Outlaws.
Yay.
We were talking a little bit earlier on about how, you know, he and Sean really wanted to get you guys involved in DX the first time around, but you were getting over on your own. There was no reason to do that. Did you guys know about this?
I think we did.
They had no idea they were getting over.
I think we were more about entertaining each other than it was.
Like they had spoken to us about it, and we tried to act coy and say, well, let us get back to you. And, you know, I was hoping you would show the rest of that footage, because to be quite honest with you, I have no idea what happened that night.
Yeah, he's another sketchy one.
We'll give you two guesses which three rode the car together.
Hey, actually, I rode with Triple H and trying to beat that to wait like half an hour for me to come down every...
Everybody's had to wait a half hour for you all the time.
I'm surprised you put up with
that. He would be the first match on the card. Like, we'd go to Europe, he'd be the first match on the card. He'd wrestle, like, Bushwhacker Luke. And then the show would be over. This would be now, like, 3.5 hours later. The show's over, you're on the bus. Like, what are we waiting for? Where is he? And he would come out, still in his gear. Like, nobody knows what he was doing all that time. Just
watching matches.
Yeah, you knew, yeah.
So the new Degeneration X is formed, and then you go on to make history. You guys did so many things, which we'll get into over the next few minutes. But Hunter, what did these three bring to the table when you wanted to put the screw back together?
Well, you know, it's funny. The dynamic went from super angry, which is where I think we kind of, a lot of the stuff we were doing while entertaining, and we were entertaining ourselves, a lot of the stuff was just angry and bitter and all those things at that time. You flip over to here, and it just became funny all the time. And it's not that it wasn't funny with Sean and I, because we started down that road of just kind of entertaining each other, and we did do a lot of entertaining stuff. But I think the entertaining stuff that we were doing had a lot more bite. Like, when we would do something really funny, somebody was pissed about it.
Right.
Because it insulted somebody.
And also, I think, again, we were still bad guys. And I know that, like, they started out that way. But after a while, they were having, I mean, you could tell on their eyes, if you sit there and watch it, they started having so much fun. And you could see it. It was impossible to hate them. You know, I mean, like, that was the thing. I mean, you could see, which is, again, the same thing. You know, Sean had already run around with us. We were all already entertaining. You know, people don't know we were behind the scenes. You know, Brian and I were, you know, spending a bunch of time together. But they were, as we said earlier, they were so unbelievably entertaining and real. Like, just the stuff we do. I mean, we sit back here for an hour laughing and chuckling with each other. We were all joking about the fact that we've been with each other now for probably the last 3 hours. And we were all, right before we came out, and I'm all tired now because we all been sitting
for the last 3 hours. Sitting, you guys, I don't want to go on stage and entertaining each other. But that's what they do.
And once they started, when they go on back to the screen as a viewer, it was impossible to be mad at them, to be mad at them anymore.
Yeah, we never officially had like a baby face turn, you know. Yeah. The people, you guys turned us, baby face. You guys are the ones that started cheering us. And, when we do such things as like the parody of Nation of Domination, or like, stuff like Mark Henry. I'm real proud of it right now, but I'll try to let him
finish. Yeah, so let's just go back in time to that day when this whole thing comes up about we're going to parry the Nation of Domination, and all he does is bitch all day long about how stupid this is. I don't want to do it. Why do I need to be Mark Henry? This is dumb. I'm not doing it. And literally, they put his makeup on and he's in the chosen. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. We had to like pick him up. Billy was on one side, I was on the other. To put the Mark Henry outfit on. Like, you just stand up, please, and try to act like an adult. We didn't want to do it. We got back to the curfew. This is the greatest thing ever. Did you see that? I was so funny. You heard what I said about Mark Henry? Oh, this is the greatest thing of all time. Oh, we're awesome. That was awesome. I came up with the idea.
I pissed him on the button.
Don't try to gain control of any of this. Smile a lot. You guys are going to enjoy where I'm going at. Because, you know, we talked earlier about me being the brunt of the jokes, the wedgie, and the whole nine yards. You know exactly where I'm going. So we used to have this thing that we used to sell called Super Soaker. And we used to shoot commercials for them. And I was hosting LiveWire at the time. So these three gentlemen come into the studio in Stanford to do a Super Soaker commercial with me. And they are given specific instructions of what not to do. And those instructions were, do not spray Michael Cole in the face.
That was the first mistake, by the way. Tell us not to do it.
Yeah, telling us not to do it. The problem is these things are so, I mean, seriously, this water is like a fire hose. And when you're 2 feet away from the guy, so don't, okay, so I'm new to the business. I'm naive.
Well, as we all fit, so you know how many times Michael Cole has said, no, just don't do it in the face.
So anyway, these guys proceed to. Actually, what are you guys trying to give voice of reason?
No, I don't think.
I was the one.
Maybe that's the story I was told.
I was the mean one. I was the one.
Anyway, don't hurt the face. The water. Nonetheless, it was just another.
We all kind of talked about it, and Ken was the first one to say, "Right in the face." I said, no, Dave. I just come out of the military, right? No, the orders were don't squirt him in the face. Right. So I said, if I squirt him in the face and you don't, I'm going to be pissed.
But I hadn't talked to Kim for years after that.
Right, no, he's pissed. I don't blame him.
So we're all 1,000 back in July, and I come backstage after the show, and I'm walking the locker room, and all of a sudden, the kid makes a beeline for me, jumps in my arms, gives me this huge hug, goes, I'm so sorry. I'm like, for what? And he goes, for hitting you in the face with a Super Soaker 16 years ago. That's the type of guy that he is.
Turn the lights around.
In all fairness, it had just come to him.
Well, I think he did, because later on in the night, he apologized again. Nonetheless,
what are you guys trying to do?
What's the point of doing it?
When all this was going on in 1998, you got to remember, we were in the middle of the Monday Night Wars, where WWE and WCW, we were fighting for our existence. We didn't know if we were going to have a company or show the next week. And DX is one of the reasons that WWE was saved and actually would end up winning the Monday Night Wars. But whose idea was it to, well, go right after WCW?
So there's a period of time when it started before, where Sean and I were getting on phone calls during creative when we were home sometimes, and Vince had asked us to kind of jump in on some of that and try to help out with some of the stuff. And
This was right before we did it, obviously, and Vince was on the phone, and Vince Russo, who many of you know is the guy that flipped that shit. He's talking about that tomorrow, at the early morning panel. This is the middle of the stuff. Vince was bringing up that we were going to be at the,
Hampton Roads.
So we were at Hampton Roads, and Vince was just really pissed. He's like, man, they're right down the street at the Scope, you know, and they, WCW had started to do that. They had started to book, you know, they just had this mentality of they just wanted to try to attack us. It wasn't about them doing well. It was about us doing bad. And they had started to try to kind of rebook, you know, Hampton Roads, take phone off, please. if we were in Hampton Roads, they were going to be 20 minutes down the road at the Scope and try to, you know, they were on first, they were live, they would try to kill our business, and that's what they were doing. Vince was really pissed about it. This was probably like the fifth time it had happened. And I said, man, it's just so, like, I want to drive a tank down there and blow a building up all the way. And, like, you know, we just all kept talking, and then all of a sudden there was this moment of pause, and Russo was like, is that something we could do? And I was like, hey, and that's just kind of how it started. It was like, you know, no, he's like, just go down there and do something. And I was like, well, like, to the building? And you just kind of said that, and I was like, I guess, why the hell do we? You know, I mean, they're live TV, they're on for us. I mean, next thing you know, we start this planning stuff and the building, and I remember you guys walking up to me, and this nobody knew, you know, like it was literally the three of us knew, and that was it. And these guys walked in, and they came up to me, and they were like, there's a bunch of military stuff outside, tank and stuff for us. What are we doing? I'm like, I can't tell you yet, but it's going to be awesome.
Well, instead of trying to describe it, why don't we show them?
Take a look.
This was the practice footage was actually shown originally back at the Raw 1000 in St. Louis when Alberto Del Rio, the current world champion, talked about this being one of his favorite wrestling memories ever. So let's take you back to that night at the Scope in Norfolk.
This mission will start at the Norfolk Scope with WCW.
That's when we start watching the WWE in Mexico. Battle DX with the army clothes. Triple H had a megaphone and he was just screaming.
WCW sucks!
They were asking people about the tickets. And they were trying to get into the building. I remember that I was thinking, what the WCW guys are going to do? They shut down the doors. For me, it was fantastic. It was really the first time I saw something like that.
So how fun was that? I actually had props cut a hole in the Kevlar helmet so that my brakes would come through.
Just to be clear, though, like we went down there with absolutely no clue what we were doing.
No plan, no plan, no clue. Like hindsight 2020, we'd have tried to go in the building first thing when we got there because they shut the door because we'd been there for a little bit doing all this stuff, so they knew we were there. If we had gone right away, we probably would have got in, which would have been
awesome.
Yeah, that would have been fun. Oh, but, you know, we just kind of went and did it, and, you know, obviously we just show you the really cool stuff, but, like, the
first night. I remember the first. How about tank shot? I got a huge promo. It was like 1,000 fans. I'm like, we fire the first show at WCW. The guy pulls me and goes, nothing. Awesome guy. Woo. Embarrassing.
How times have changed. We rode down the street with like firearms.
Yeah. And to that fact, a week later, we went to WCW's offices under the same thing, and they called the police and told them they were under attack by a militia group. I'm not kidding. And like 100 cop cars came from everywhere with like riot squads. We were like, holy crap, we're just kidding. Like, you know.
I think we have some cops for us too.
We had already gone and made a little donation to the Policeman's Benevolent Association before we went. So we were cool with the cops, you know, but they came from every county and everything, and then the cops that were with us called it all down. But it was intense for a couple of minutes.
Didn't we have to go down to the station, like, were we technically arrested or something?
No, you don't. That was another thing.
I was really worried because I had something on me that I had to hide.
Go ahead, Cole.
Okay, anyway. You know, so much is made today about writing teams, creative teams, so on and so forth. How much of the stuff back in the day that you guys did, including the invasion of WCW at the scope that night, was actually written for you guys or scripted?
I don't remember. A big goose egg. None of it.
I actually remember one night, and he can attest to this, that Vince Russo gave me a sheet of paper with some stuff written on it that he wanted me to say. And I said, if you want this said, you're going to have to say it. And I balled it up and threw it in his face, and we had a big argument. And Vince actually pulled us all into the room, and Big Russo apologized to me. I still to this day kind of believe in the old philosophy. Let the guy be the guy, you know what I mean? Don't tell the road dog what the road dog would say. And today we don't have a whole lot of road dogs. That sounds braggadocious, but it's just a fact, I guess.
But you know, it's one thing when it's one guy doing that, but when you got a group of five people, six people, how do you guys like work off each other and know who's going to say what and when to say it? Or
that's a good question. It just happens. It just like happens like organically. You know, like when you have such good chemistry with people, you know. I mean, and we did it without stepping all over each other.
Yeah, I think it would, like, even for me and Sean, we were so just used to each other, so lockstep with each other from the beginning of DX, even, you know, way later in DX. How come I know he's going to say it, what he's going to say it, he knew what I was going to say, why I was going to say it. I think with you guys it was the same. We all just kind of, so I was kind of gelled, and it was, you know, I mean, when you're in a car with a bunch of your buddies and you're going down the road and you're coming here tonight or something like that, you're not worried about who's talking over the other guy and who's saying what's funny and, oh, you say something funny now. You know, it's just not how you do things. It's just kind of how it was. He'd say something, Road Dog say something funny, I'd laugh for a while. If I had something funny to add to it, I would. If I didn't, I'd shut up. You know what I mean?
But that was the deal. We were trying to have a good time with each other, and you were welcome to come aboard if you wanted to, and I think that showed through the television screens. These cats are having fun. And so, let's have fun with them. You know what I mean? That bled through.
Yeah. Well, and I usually just never talk.
Yeah.
I don't really know why I say that. Okay, it hasn't changed today.
But the thing is, you spend a lot of time with each other, and all the guys out there, they're being very helpful. But they also, you know, they all have, at the end of the day, it's timing. Whether it's comedic timing, whether it's good, you know, whatever you want to call it. And they never once were worried, and there was a good example of that, that he wasn't there afterwards, but he really didn't have to say that much because there were other guys saying that. The thing that made DX work from the beginning all the way to the end is that, you know, all these guys just wanted to entertain for the sake of entertaining. Not for any other reason. And like Road Dogg was saying, we were mostly entertaining each other and making each other laugh. You guys were on the joke and enjoyed it as well. That was a lot. Thankfully for all of us, you did enjoy, you know, the entertainment and the jokes and everything else. But a lot of it, what we were doing was just, you know, messing around with each other, entertaining each other. And that's what you do with your buddies. You know what I mean? You guys don't sit there, you know, with your friends and say, well, we have a conversation tomorrow. I'm going to talk a little bit, and then you're going to talk. couple jokes. We'll sell all my jokes.
And I'll let you tell some jokes. And a lot.
You know, but that's not how regular people talk. That's really all we did in New Generation, actually bring our relationship to the screen, because that's the end. You know, all these characters, we've all been back here for the past 3 hours, and we did it with a thousand frogs, and we sit down, and we all talk and we laugh about all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. We sat down in a room downstairs, and everybody walked in. We all just put chairs in a circle. We were just going to talk about what are we doing on this panel? And what we talked for like 45 minutes. And towards the end of it, I was like, we should have just shot this and showed it to them. This is funny. Like, it was hilarious. We just laughed the whole time. And there's just an easiness there, I think, with all of us that is just, it just happened.
But as we've also said, the thing that works is that everybody up here is very comfortable laughing at themselves. There isn't a guy up here that takes himself very seriously. From Madden all the way to here, inspired.
Except for Cole.
And even he's been with us a lot of music the last few years.
Me? This is the era before the internet really took off, and before you could get information on all the inside stuff with the click of a computer mouse. But a lot of the stuff that you guys did, when it was very inside, very behind the scenes, a lot of your humor. Why do you think that worked, especially for the audience that wasn't quite as smart as they are today?
Hell, I don't know.
I think maybe the audience is underestimated as far as their homework goes. I think they probably didn't really get
it. I mean, we weren't really taking stuff over their heads. Suck it. It's pretty self-explanatory. We're getting to do the ideological. Can you say before we get out of New York and talk to you about this? Yeah. Sorry about that. I lied.
Of course, after the WCW stuff, Kid alluded to it earlier, you guys started getting into doing a lot of parody. You started with the Nation, you moved to the Corporation. What made this stuff work? You know, what made the parody work?
Again, I just think us just being us and just kind of working with each other. And even the stuff, like, I'll just, like, when we did the Nation, you know, a lot of the stuff we did, you know, we kind of talked about, obviously, what we were going to do. But, like, I had no idea that Road Dogg was dressed up as D.O. Brown. And D.O. Brown had this habit of repeating everything that The Rock said. And he just was like, he had no point in the group other than he would repeat what The Rock said. Like, people couldn't hear him the first time he said it, you know. And, you know, when we went up there to do it, I had no idea that he was going to, like, run up every time I'd say something in the corner and Brown said bacon. And, and it's just, that's one of those things that just, it just kind of happens when you're out there and you're all out there just kind of letting it all hang out. And the hardest part is just keeping it together so you can do your part, you know, because that's pretty funny. And, like, it was hard not to just want to burst out laughing with everybody else, you know.
And that, to me, that's the secret of that kind of success, is not being afraid to make a fool of yourself. A lot of people take themselves so seriously, and as long as you can go out there and make fun of yourself, put yourself out there a little bit, I think that was the secret to the success of that.
Cole just said, do you guys want to see that?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So this is what we were talking about, the parody of the Nation of Domination. Enjoy this.
The smell of the rock is cooking.
Wait a minute. We're expecting DX here. That's must be the Nation coming out. Oh, oh my God. Stay out of this. I know that The Rock is in Miami in the home way.
Come on.
Again, I'll say bye.
ass. Remember we talked about sketchy?
Yes.
Do you remember your Miyazaki?
After seeing it, it's all starting to come back to me.
This is, again, one of those things that, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not sure I've seen that since we did it.
Right.
So, to me, it's just, it's hilarious. Nobody laughed harder than we just did at our own stuff, which is why we thought it was great.
I can tell you, silly, a little on and cynical, to me, that is going to go down. I mean, I'm without where to go. That's going to go down as one of the biggest, most memorable moments as a wrestling fan in my memory. I thought that was one of the most entertaining things. When you sit there and you know the guys and you know everything about them, and you're still just it's 2 years later, and I'm just as funny today as I was back then.
Make sure you all have your questions in. We're going to head to some questions and answers in just a few moments. But first, this went on for a couple of years, and of course the X came back in different incarnations over the next decade. But Hunter, when did you know that this first run of DX had run its course?
It's weird. I don't think I ever knew it ran its course, but we got to a time at the end where, I just wanted to do more than just be kind of in a group, right? And I remember when I said to you guys that I was going to turn, and y'all came to me individually and were like, you're out of your mind, what are you doing? Let's run this thing into the ground. Let's ride it for all it's worth, don't do this. And I was like, I just feel like it's time, while it's hot and while it's big, we should just all go our separate ways. We can always come back and put this back together, but we should all just try to rise on our own and just kind of do our own thing. Like, it was time. And it wasn't because it ran its course, because I think we were still just out there doing this stuff and people were loving it, but it was just like, you want to get out while it's good, not like you don't want to ride it and then it fades and then, we'll just call it a day,
Who was that you turned on again?
That would be you. You remember that, huh?
Yeah. Actually, I think I was the one that offered myself up as a sacrificial lamb.
I will say one thing, because we're talking about us all the time, and as Rodok alluded earlier, it was the first question he asked when we all got together today. Let's talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room, China. What are we saying? I will just say one thing on all that stuff, on that entertaining stuff, and a lot of that, like, it wasn't her character at the time to stand there. She was just still stoic and wasn't doing it a lot at the time, but she was as integral in the funny stuff, I think, in the planning of some of that funny stuff. She is to be just as goofy and have that it takes something for a woman to be able to, like, go out and do something like get breast implants and then go on national television live in front of the world and have us, like, leaning on them and making jokes about them and stuff like that when you're just trying to hide and make, like, make nobody knows, like, that is big giant whoppers, But she was... you guys can chime in on that, because I hate to just talk about it, or not talk about it like it wasn't a part of it, because it was, and she was a big contributing factor to a lot of the comedy stuff that went in there.
She was a blast to be around, and we've all done things that we regret, and I choose to remember her as being one of the guys. I know that sounds wrong to say, but she was she would fart as loud as Billy would. She took so much protein in that sometimes they smelled equally as bad as well. But she was an integral part of what we did, especially in the planning process. You know what I mean? Before we actually went out there, she was very witty, very funny girl, very fun to be around.
Yeah, well, certainly like for the first run, she was like a dead mother, because she was everything we were doing on TV was very entertaining, but everything that I was not doing on TV was not.
Sean needed a lot of babysitting.
I needed a lot of babysitting. And that was my only experience. I was there.
You see Timmy White sitting over there. Yeah. He's another babysitter.
I've had many handlers.
It took a village.
Yeah.
A village to get me to where, but she was. I mean, she was along with any variation, but really took great care. You know, and a lot of times was the voice reason. I will say that. I mean, there were many times when I was there, really go off the reservation, and she was, even when you were, when I at least had you before, convinced me this was the one, she was always there to show you back in. So, and again, to your point, I mean, to be able to allow herself to be with the top, so sometimes, I mean, I thought she could create the role of us, and, she'll still to this day, to be able to be with those who meet. Women individuals get it.
I don't think there's ever been another one to come along
quite like Joey. I mean, again, in that role, there's plenty of other, plenty of everyone involved, divas, women wrestlers, whatever, but I don't think there's ever been a woman that sort of has filled the role that Joey had for all those years.
I'm glad you guys brought that subject up, because obviously a lot of people don't know my history with it, but...
Well, you can buy it if you have it, you don't know it. So plus if you can rent it.
I was really blacked out back then. And I remember when her and I started whatever that was that we were doing.
Please clarify, that sounds terrible. I'm validated what you were talking about.
No, Hunter, I got a text from, what kind of psycho she is now, kid? But she had professionally amazing, very, very special, and there'd probably never be another one like her.
Rolling Thousand back in July. There was an impromptu reunion just a couple of weeks ago in our developmental territory, NXT, in Florida. There was one person up here who didn't come to work that day and make the quarterly
dog was played by Kevin Nash.
So before we hold this break, let me ask you guys, will we see one more little get together at some point?
Never say never.
Okay, let's open up some questions for the WWE Universe. We'll start over here on the right. Or maybe in the middle. Actually, we're going to start here in the middle.
I got a question about the cake. Rumor has it the cake might be coming back for the Hall of Fame. Is that true?
Not that I know of, but obviously, everyone that went back, and obviously, the location that they make that more.
Not that I'm aware of it, I'm pretty much booked it. So,
I'll go on a limb and just say, again, never say never to WWE. There's a lot of, that's a lot of special group of people right there. It's like getting everybody on the same plane, so to speak, for any extended period of time is very difficult. But never say never, maybe.
I think it should be nice if it happens, but I mean, a lot of stuff's got to fall into place.
To be honest, I wish the clique could get together, just us, without all of this, one time. But yeah, that's yet to happen. You know what I mean? And while I'd be happy to have it happen on a stage, I'd love for it to happen, period. And that would be a special thing if we could make that happen.
Next, over here on the right.
So, when we talk about the chemistry you guys had, I'm curious, what is it that made your group come around more often than some of the other stables we've seen over the last few years that come around for a few months and then dissipated over time?
I don't know. I mean, when I watched that back, I didn't remember it being that funny, but to Sean's point earlier, it seems timeless. Like, we watch it again now, and it's still funny. And some of the stuff we did was crazy antics, but you watch it back now, it's still funny.
And that's in today's environment. Like, nobody had ever done anything like that globally. You know, to
dress up like other guys and come out and do that kind of area, or to get in a tank and drive to the guys. You didn't even mention them on the show. As far as on WWF television, WCW didn't exist. You know what I mean? For us to drive a tank down there and go to their building on live TV and do that, like that's the kind of stuff that just, at that time, was mind-boggling, you know?
Also, I think to answer his question, I think he's asking, you know, what is it that allows us to always come back?
Sure, that's it. Yes, I didn't care. I went off on a tangent.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But
because, you know, this is a group, what made this group work collectively is even though it doesn't matter what you hear, the reality is the egos here never really matter. It's not tough to get us all back together in the same room. If we're all alive and kicking, we're always willing to do it. In the other groups, that's not always the case. There's always maybe one or two individuals that have a falling out or they don't like each other or whatever. I don't know if there's, I mean, I'm sure there have. I'm always sketchy too, but I don't know if there's ever been a time when all of us, you know, couldn't, you know, that makes somebody involved or whatever, or, you know what I mean? Like, people want to get together, that maybe they say, no, I'm not doing it. You know,
it's hard for me to remember ever having an argument with any kind of.
Yeah, I mean, even if there has been something that, you know, it's never been anything that, like, if we all were in a room for 5 minutes, it wouldn't all be forgotten. You know, it's just the way it's been, you know, and I could not see these guys for a long period of time, and then, you know, it's one of those things, it's like a family member that you don't see for 5 years, and you walk in a room, it's like no time has passed, you're finishing the conversation you had from 5 years ago at that moment, and it's just kind of how it is. So I think that anytime we get back together, we're right back on the same page that fast, and you know, I mean, why are the Rolling Stones still playing music? I don't know. It worked for them, right? All these years later, for some reason, they have a chemistry that's like glue, and you can't break it up.
And the bottom line is that people still want to see them.
That's it. Oh, and he's waiting for his
Yeah, wait for the camera.
Wait for the camera. Yeah,
take his light, guys. This question's for Sean. I was wondering after Lost in WrestleMania 14, after you said you left out of anger, after watching all that on TV, like the Nation parody and all that, did you kind of watch that kind of like regretfully that you're missing out at anything?
No, I mean, it's weird. I mean, I go back to always saying, boy, it all worked. I mean, I had nothing but, you know, joy, you know, back for all those guys. I mean, they're having a ton of fun. I was, you know, I needed to, you know, people always ask, oh man, you have upset you this the Attitude Era? Those 4 years in my life were the absolute greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life personally. And I love this job, but my personal life is a ton more important than any kind of wrestling career to be in. So, you know, I mean, I could never make that trade-off. So, no, I mean, I was too busy, you know, being happy for my buddies and then repairing my life. Those things were most important. And again, that's what made it work. I mean, you know you're somebody's friend when you don't have, you know, any kind of resentment or jealousy or something like that for their success. I mean, I can remember watching the WCW thing and thinking, like, my God, brilliant. I mean, with the tank and everything else. I mean, and how do you? I don't know. I don't. Again, I'm not going to make a very good bitter old wrestler. Just not. You know what I mean? Too much stuff. I went back on too much of it with just, you know, joy and admiration. You know, and I mean, how do you not say that? Holy cow, that was epic work that they did. You know what I mean? That's, I don't know. You can't sit there and go, you know, I mean, I just don't take that. Well, I guess so, but I don't know. Yeah, well, we've always there has never been a moment in our life where we have been having fun. I don't know if there's been any time in our lives if any of those guys were there that we weren't having fun. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, if I complain about 4 years, well, I'd have to complain about the 4 days I'm not going to have fun with them when I'm here tonight. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, that's all we do. with each other. That's what our jobs were, you know, for many, many years. You know, we were so fortunate. We went out and we got paid decent money to have fun with each other. Not a bad gig.
That paid great money.
And you can still see Sean on the Outdoor Channel, part of McMillan River Adventures. And you can follow him on Twitter at Sean Michaels. You guys got paid?
You get two.
Question over here.
Hi. Hi.
How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Nice to see you.
Hi, friend.
Hi. With all the fun you were having, did you feel any individual pressure to succeed and make DX succeed with the pressure WCW was putting on the company?
Who's the pressure?
I feel like there was no pressure at all, and I feel like that was another secret to the success of it all, was we were just young. I know I speak for Billy and myself. We were just young and hungry and wanted to have a good time. And the truth of it was, they were doing another wrestling show over there, and other than my brothers being there, I could have cared less what was going on. We were just having fun, and so the fact that I did feel pressure kind of helped me. It was a beneficial to me.
And it's like Hunter was saying, you know, we weren't focused on trying to put them out of business. We were focused on having a good show ourselves. And I don't know, I forgot what I was going to say just now.
But there's also
this whole...
Ladies and gentlemen, next
But it was also this idea that you can stay or you can't just, I mean, that's not the way business works. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he can't just get up and leave, you know, Green Bay tomorrow if he wants, because somebody else is going to pay him. That's not how contracts and realizing the business world works. You know, all the guys that did leave, you know, one, they had to feel contraction, they had to find a way to be able to do it. And we were, one, we had no desire to do it. We always felt that, you know, eventually there was one guy that was going to win this battle anyway. And if you know the man, you know, that's all you need to know.
Even when I
was... Well, let me say, but also, I mean, so the fact that, I mean, I suppose you could do it, and if you wanted to be wrapped up in lawsuits for the rest of your life, I suppose... You know, that would be an idea to go. But nobody, you know, none of this group up here really did it for the money anyway. That was always just fortunate enough just to come along with it. But we were where we wanted to be. So, I mean, it didn't matter that they were beating us. The key was to, you know, eventually be winning again.
And here's the thing. That once we did that invasion of their building, I think that from that point on, we were kicking their ass in the ratings and never looked back. So we were just having fun at that point, no pressure after that.
I'll just go back to one of the things he said, because I think a funny story is the day that we did the invasion. And everybody talks about the smarts of who was running what in the business at that time. And, you know, Vince just has this vision of where things are going and a different way of looking at things a lot. And there was a point in time... I believe we had just come back from their building doing stuff, and you know, we were talking to Vince about it and telling, you know, they closed the doors, they wouldn't let us in, all this stuff, and we're explaining it all to him, and Bruce Pritchard was standing there, and Bruce Pritchard goes, "Oh my God, Vince, I just thought of something. You know, they're going to be off the air while we're still on the air. What if they send a whole troop of their guys down here? What are we going to do?" And Vince looks at me and goes, "Open up the big door and let them in. What show are you going to watch? The one with no wrestlers on or the one with everybody on?" Let them in. You walk off and you're like, "That's why we're going to win." Right there.
This side of the
When I look at all you guys, I see some of the greatest of all time in history, ever. But I've got to ask, it's only five of you guys. Some stables have had huge numbers of men. What I'm trying to say is, individually with each of you guys, if you could get one more person to do that DX job, who would it be? Who do you want to add to the DX audience?
You want a job?
He's better than Josh Matthews now.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
Congratulations, yes. What you asked, I can't remember.
Who would join the group?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. For a moment in time, Mike Tyson was in DX. Or, you know, and that was when Mike Tyson was like the most recognizable guy on the planet. And my memory of the moment when Sean pulled the shirt off him and Mike had the DX shirt and we were all in the ring going up at the corners and doing the crotch shot was Mike. Like a giddy little kid.
The only thing about that, I don't like that.
And he was like, crotch chopping, and he wouldn't stop hugging us. And we got backstage, and all he did was giggle and hug us.
It's the coolest thing ever. Yeah, oh my God.
I was like blown away. Like, oh my God, this is Mike Tyson. So, I mean, bigger than that.
Well, don't you remember a couple of times they tried to stick people with us, like Val Venus?
I know Corey was in there for a minute, but like
Kane
in the X.
Well, no, that was after he turned on me.
No, but still,
yeah. We did have Hornswoggle in there, but he only counts as a half.
Hold on, though.
Abraham Lincoln was a professional wrestler. I bet a lot of you didn't know that. He was a professional wrestler.
He was horrible, though. He was
horrible. He would never do jobs.
You didn't answer questions.
Who would you're just like, I don't know.
I don't know. See, I guess I know George.
You're having an action.
Yeah.
I guess I'll be in for my business with the action. For me, anyway.
I was going to say second that, but I think that.
Well, and Brian, you picked Abraham Lincoln already. What about Billy?
Today, I said
Joe Biden.
Who's that?
I'll tell you right now.
Arm Albert, I would like in the group.
I just think that DX, I wouldn't want to add any more ingredients to it. You know, you start adding too many ingredients to something, you end up screwing it up. I think DX out.
Easy, Emerald.
All right, are we done with this question, or are we going to keep going?
Shut it, Michael.
Yeah, fuck it!
Not the first time I've heard that.
That's an applause.
You guys have a second to take a picture with me and my brother?
That's not a question.
What is actually a question?
Okay, down that way? So I guess the answer to your question is no.
How old were you when you first started WWE?
First year of WWE, I was 23. Well, I was 22 technically, got fired, and then got rehired.
And your dad, your granddad, was actually the same age when
you started. but to be in wrestling, though, is different than WWE. How old were you when you started wrestling?
19.
So I was like 21.
I was 24 for both of them.
25.
I was 15, actually.
As far as you can remember.
I ran away from home and I joined the circus.
Over here.
Says somebody in the cheap seats.
As a kid that grew up in the 90s, I always see kids on the news like get in trouble for copying you guys. So how did you guys feel when that happened?
Yeah, sorry, guys.
should we apologize? Hey, you know what? The truth is all of us have kind of grown up together. And so I mentioned earlier things in my life personally that I regret, and I think about that a lot. That's a good question. It's a legitimate question. I think about that. How many children did I lead astray? How many kids did I lead down the wrong path? Had I been...
at my wits at the time. I don't know if I could have done what I did. But looking back on it, I don't know, but I think about that a lot.
So I mean, the thing is, you know, I'm not going to say I can experience the job then. You know what I mean? I'm a parent now. Still not yet. You know what I mean?
I used to, when I used to drop my kids off at school, they went to a Christian school, I used to get the worst look from the parents. Oh my God, you think I'm... Never mind.
That was before DXE, so...
down here, this way.
Or in the middle, or wherever you want to go. Yeah, this is for Triple H. I wondered, what made you take... Stephanie McMahon to Vegas and marry her.
She's hot, man.
What was the last part?
Were you pissed off at him at that time?
And Vince?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I'm always pissed off at Vince about something. Even more so now, my father-in-law more personal. Which is interesting, the Steph thing. It's so funny, like, that comes up so much in my life. There's a whole other panel, trust me. But it comes up all the time because it's really became, like, kind of life imitating art at some point. You know, like, I am even, when we did the Vegas wedding, I don't know that I've said 10 words to Steph in my whole life at that point in time. You know, prior to us doing that thing. You know, it was just, that was kind of our first experience around each other, was working together every day on that, and just, you know, kind of happened.
Well, I can remember, you know, I'm just on a side note, and they get everybody's like, oh, I can't believe it. You know, you do this job all the time. I can remember getting in trouble for, you know, dating someone that was, you know, one of those.
The wrong girl.
The wrong girl, yes. Yeah, and me and you getting all that. I was like, dude, we do this job all the time. Where else are you going?
Where are you supposed to meet somebody when you're on the road for
you? Somebody here. Heaven's sake. I'm here all the time. So
I'm starting to think Sean was attractive.
I still think he is.
And you've seen his play, girl. It's not that bad. And I heard that come up earlier. I just want to say for the record, I try to talk about it.
Let's move it. Can we get these guys in the middle here? Four. Tomorrow night, we're all going to be here. Would you guys participate in any way, shape, or form? I can tell you, I'll be there.
Here's the score.
I did last longer than Jerry Lawler last year. So.
All right, sign guy, you're just gonna keep standing up and doing all of it.
Your face.
Try it
up. I think they asked for ours, that's yours.
I saw the part of it.
We're all 1,000, it's the only one.
Get down, you're on the show, shut your pie hole. We're starting to get the original DX now. Back off before we get to it.
The problem is now that you can't go to the bar, you have to go to the drink of water, so there. Okay, I was going
to
see you guys an hour,
but I'll go on and say, you know, for me, there's a lot of, you know, that there's like distinct moments for me and Sean from the first run, from the second run, from the third run, you know, there's distinct moments. You know, obviously, what we're showing you tonight, the invasion, the nation stuff, you know, unforgettable moments, but he just said something that was just struck me when he just said, we're all 1,000, the only one I remember, but
Man, that was a moment for, I think, because it wasn't just part of the show for us, and it wasn't just this kind of like scripted thing, or I don't mean scripted necessarily, but like a comical thing or anything. It was just after a long, long, long time for us all, including Sean. You know, it just was kind of a blend of the whole thing for us all to be standing in the ring together one more time. You know, just you guys coming out of that tank and just that moment, it's something I'll never forget. It like just was, you know, in this business is goosebumps thing, and it's really, that was one of those moments for me that I will never.
Yeah, that was easily mine. That's what I was going to say, because they've got, for me, I'm sure we're at a place now where we can truly appreciate that moment. Look back on the past with unbelievable joy, and then for all us to be together again, you know, easy for all of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, it was so emotional, especially for me, I think, because when I got in and everybody's there, we were hugging, I turned, my wife happened to be like two rows back, I was looking at her, she's crying, I'm about to cry, I'm trying to stand there, and so I'm like, it was awesome. It really was a feeling just like, you know, they said it was unbelievable.
You've always been the most like a girl out there.
Oh, <dear.
laughs> Oh, trust me, we all are sometimes.
When in Rome.
Anybody on this side here?
Hi, Harry.
Ian, you got a question?
What's that? Who's that, Carton?
I'm actually the main one, the whole panel. Road Dogg said, look the guy to the guy. Billy, what happened to you and Chuck exactly?
Hey, sometimes the guy wants to be the girl. I just let it happen, dude. That's just another finish. He's a big, strong man.
Next, then again, that's a whole other panel, right?
Yeah.
What is he doing? This side over here.
My part. This is a kind of random moment in time. When the Voodoo Kid Mafia did that, well, you know what, next? I happened to be there on business. And
who the hell is the Voodoo Kid Mafia? Who is that?
Hey,
I don't even know what you're talking about. Honest to God, I'm being 100% honest, I have no idea what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
Can I just talk to you later personally?
No.
He really doesn't know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. It was because he doesn't know. Seriously, he doesn't know.
Sometimes
I have to do, dude. I got to explain football to him. Basketball to him. That was these guys.
That when they were in TNA.
What's that?
So I need to
I'm sorry.
But it took me forever, the Voodoo Kid Mafia. It took me like 10 years to figure that one out. It was them. I mean, what were they doing?
The Voodoo Kid Mafia was awesome. Yeah, what's the question?
So we have a question over here. Let's see how little kid raises his hand.
A
couple more questions to start with.
Just got that. Wait, actually, what was your question?
I was just wondering, was that just you guys having fun on the other company's bus, just like going down to hang with your friends? And
it was Russo. Russo was writing.
Yeah.
Russo was writing, and we got paid weekly.
I had the third row seat.
It was a bad time in my life. I was 2 years sober. Okay, so sit down for me to drop and drink. Two more questions to start here first.
When did you come? It's actually for Sean. When did you come up with switching music?
Okay, that's a good question.
Yeah, well, I mean, my goodness, I think I was doing that before I ever made it to the WWF or WWE at that time. I was doing that when I first started. There was a guy by the name of Gentleman Chris Adams. He was a
British guy, and he wrestled in what was world-class championship wrestling, WCCW, out of Dallas, in the sport of Troy, and I saw him do it once, and I just thought it was a cool move. I sort of, you know, took it from there, and then when I came to the WWE, I started using it, and then one day during ESPN, I heard them talk about Roger Clemens, threw a fastball, moving a guy off the plate, and they said, "Oh, Clemens with a little sweet chin music," moving him off the plate, and I thought, I think I'm gonna take that. So that's sort of how I came.
A lot better question than that guy.
Well, we don't know. We're going to wrap up the question and answer session with the panel without hearing from the sign guy.
Hey!
I know, and a lot of build up, but guys, number one, thank you so much for doing this for us.
Great. I'm just curious. I know that some of you were in here for the one right off the thing, but you guys were in here for the. I mean, I sat right there for Brett Shaw, and I was riveted. I thought it was awesome. I think I already know the answer to this, but you guys are digging this, right? This is kind of the beta test of whether we're going to be doing this again in bigger format and kind of getting out there and doing these more often. So I think it was a hit. I think it's something we're going to do more often.
Thank you. I was just curious to know if any of you have ever pitched an idea to WWE or the networks about a TX idea that was maybe too over the top,
every week. A lot. Yeah.
Share some of those.
I know. Not in public.
The reason you can't hear them is the same reason they didn't hear them.
When I was having my feud with Kane, I wanted to handcuff him to the bottom rope and light a fart in his face. I didn't know what to do. I thought it was going to get over him. That's a true story.
On that note, we did the test run backstage and it worked great. And everything too, we could do it on TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for D-Generation X.
Hey guys, you're not gonna let DX leave like that, are you? Well, let's try to get DX back out here. How about you start chanting, maybe bring DX out? Maybe we get a photo out of these guys. What do you think?
Sir? That makes me sign guys a complete moron.
Yeah. You already did.
Just thought I'd mention it again. Bugged me a lot more than you?
Yeah.
I think he's just a douche.
I think everybody's a douche.
Where is that?
I forgot that. Make sure you have it ready. They were in the core.
Get our gimmicks, I almost forgot. Thank you very much. Alright. Got gimmicks. Yeah, no, that's cool. No, something to break
more?
No. Yeah. What's that? Oh, man, he's just an ass. Well, yeah, I hate people. Yeah, I do too.
You got a camera?
I got a camera?
Yeah.
Yeah, one.
You want to take a picture of the rental?
Of the what? What am I taking a picture of? What am I taking a picture of?
The arena.
Oh. I thought you wanted me to take a picture of you taking a piss.
No, not yet.
Of the arena. Why do we need a picture of that? Hmm? Oh, from the outside?
No.
Oh, sneak peek? Oh, I see the same ring.
Oh.
Yeah. Not really.
Yeah, come on, man. My dad didn't even grow up real quick. I didn't even think about it.
Another one.
Another gimmick tomorrow. Cool.
Yeah. You know,
most likely. Probably see that. Could be a Ryback. Could be a hot chick.
Yeah, Ryback or a Orton.
Yeah, Orton. Well, it's going to be who has time to sign them all, too, right? So, more hot chicks.
Yes.
I think pretty girl off. It's not. Yeah. If it is, it's really almost not a cab or what's the plan here? Yeah, okay, cool. I don't think I've turned off the gimmick yet.